Ever notice how fast the tech world moves? It's like blink and you miss it. Suddenly, flip phones are ancient history and streaming is king.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast things change.
Well, today's deep dive is all about understanding those tech waves, specifically how the tech a startup develops influences whether they end up taking over the world or joining forces with a bigger player.
It's a fascinating area, you know? It's not enough to have a cool idea anymore. It's about how that idea fits into this constant evolution of technology.
And that's where this research we're diving into gets super interesting.
Okay, what are we looking at?
It's called, get this, Rapidly Evolving Technologies and Startup Exits.
Catchy.
Right, straight to the point. And it's not just a catchy title, it's serious stuff published in Management Science. These researchers, Bowen, Frizzard, and Hoberg, they dove headfirst into a massive amount of patent data.
Okay, what were they looking for in all those patents?
They were trying to figure out if you can actually predict a startup's exit strategy just by analyzing the language in their patents.
Interesting. So, like, what kind of language? What are we talking about here?
That's where they introduced this idea of re-tech, right?
Retech, okay.
So not just a trendy buzzword, it's actually a whole system for analyzing how quickly a technology is evolving. They're basically looking at how often specific terms pop up in patent applications.
So, like, if you see a sudden spike in a certain term, that could be retech in action.
Exactly. Say, for example, a surge in patents using terms like gene editing or CRISPR a few years back.
Right, like a technological fingerprint.
Exactly. High retech means the technology is new, it's changing rapidly, likely disrupting everything we thought we knew about an industry. On the flip side, low retech suggests things are more about making incremental improvements to existing tech.
Makes sense. So, like with our phones, the first iPhone, that must have had a sky-high retech score, right? Total game changer.
Absolutely. The very language used to describe its features was brand new, spreading like wildfire across patent applications as everyone tried to get a piece of that smartphone revolution.
Makes you wonder what today's scores look like.
Right. But here's where it gets really interesting for you and for anyone trying to understand the startup world. The researchers found that startups with those high retech patents, those disruptors, they're far more likely to choose an IPO.
An IPO, so they're going public.
Oh.
Makes sense. If you invented the next big thing, something with the potential to make the old ways obsolete, why on earth would you sell out to the old guard,
Or
right?
you'd be selling yourself short. Exactly. You want to control your own destiny, become the next Google or Tesla.
All right, control your own narrative.
But what about the companies with tech that's less about disruption and more about, making things better? That's where this whole idea of complementarity comes in, right?
Precisely. If your tech improves or enhances existing products, but isn't necessarily trying to replace them entirely, then joining forces with a larger company starts to look like a smart move. Think about it. You benefit from their resources and reach, and they gain a competitive edge from your technology.
Synergy. It makes you think about those classic partnerships like Intel and Microsoft back in the day.
Perfect example.
So you're saying there's a method to this tech madness?
There's a method to everything if you look closely enough. And if you're wondering if this is all just speculation, let me tell you, the data backs it up. The researchers analyzed thousands of VC-backed startups over several decades and found that those with higher tech were significantly more likely to go public.
Okay, but how much more likely are we talking?
We're talking significant. In fact, their likelihood of an IPO shot up by almost 25%, with just a one standard deviation increase in their RPIC score.
Okay, 25%, that's a pretty compelling number. So you're telling me just by looking at the language and patents, we can get a sense of whether a startup is more likely to become a major player on their own or get acquired.
You're getting it. That's precisely what retech allows us to do. And it goes even deeper than that. It's not just about high versus low retech. There's this whole other layer of nuance the researchers uncovered.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What's the next layer of this retech onion?
It turns out the connection between high retech and IPOs is even stronger when that innovation is happening in a field that's already established, you know?
Hold on. So you're saying it's riskier to disrupt a brand new market than to shake things up in an industry that's like been around the block a few times?
Yeah,
That's
well,
counterintuitive.
it might seem that way at first, but think about it this way. When you're dealing with an established field, you've got a pre-existing market, existing infrastructure, a customer base that's already there. Disrupting that, while potentially more challenging, comes with a much bigger potential payoff.
Because if you succeed, you're not just creating a market, you're capturing one that already exists.
Exactly. It's a bit like the difference between Building a house on a solid foundation that's already there versus having to pour the concrete yourself. You know?
Okay, that analogy really drives the point home. So how did the researchers actually uncover this dynamic in the data? Were they analyzing the age of the patterns themselves, or?
That's the clever part.
Okay.
They looked at the age of the language used in the patterns. So, for example, if a startup's patterns were full of new terms, but those terms themselves had been around for a while, that suggested they were working in a mature field that was experiencing a fresh wave of innovation.
Interesting.
And guess what? Those startups were even more likely to go public.
Fascinating. It's like riding a new wave on an old surfboard. So we've talked about the disruptors, the high retech players looking to change the game. But what about those companies that are more about synergy, those with the low retech scores we talked about earlier? What happens to them?
Right, right. Well, remember how we said those startups are more likely to get acquired because their tech complements what's already out there?
Right.
Well, the research dug even deeper into those acquisitions.
You mean it's not just about any company buying any other company? There's a pattern to these tech marriages.
Bingo. They found that when startups with low retech do get acquired, they're usually scooped up by companies that also have low retech. It's like a match made in tech heaven.
So it's not just about a big fish swallowing a small fry. It's about finding that perfect partner to, like, maximize their combined potential.
Now you're getting it.
Kind of like when Google, with its superior search algorithm, acquired Android, a small but mighty mobile operating system.
A perfect example. Google, already a high retech giant, wasn't looking to absorb a similar disruptor. They needed a way into the burgeoning mobile market. And Android, with its lower retech but strong potential, provided that perfect synergy.
And did the researchers find any, like, evidence to support this idea of synergy in action?
Oh, they did. They looked at the stock market's reaction to these acquisitions. You know, how Wall Street responds when two companies decide to join forces. Well, they found significantly more positive returns, meaning investors were happier when the deal involved two low RTech players. The market seemed to recognize that these acquisitions were more likely to create real value through synergy, rather than just being a case of a bigger company gobbling up a smaller one.
That's fascinating. So the takeaway for startups is, if your tech is more complementary than disruptive, don't just jump at the first acquisition offer. Be strategic. Look for a partner whose tech complements your own, a partner who sees the value in, you know, combining forces. But what happens when those high retech companies do decide to go public? What does that process look like for them?
That's a great question, and it's where this research reveals another crucial insight. It turns out that these high retech IPOs, the ones looking to disrupt the market, they tend to need more funding and exit faster. It's like they're in a race against time to scale up and capitalize on their advantage.
Yeah, makes sense when you think about it. If you've stumbled onto something truly game-changing, you need to move quickly before someone else catches up or copies your idea.
Right. There's no time to waste. Exactly. And this urgency, it's reflected in their IPOs. They often need to raise significant capital, you know, to build the infrastructure, hire top talent, and get their product or service to market as quickly as possible.
So they're not just going public to cash out. They're going public to fuel their rapid growth. They're playing a different game than those low retech companies. It's not about finding a comfortable merger. It's about dominating a market.
Now you're seeing the bigger picture. It's like comparing a cheetah and a lion. Both are apex predators, but with very different hunting styles.
I love that analogy. This whole RITech concept has been incredibly insightful. It's like a secret decoder ring for understanding the tech world. But before we wrap up, is there anything we should be cautious about when applying RITech to real-world situations? Are there, like, limitations to this approach?
That's a very astute question. I think it's important to remember that this particular research focused specifically on patented technologies.
Okay.
So it kind of begs the question, what about those startups that rely heavily on trade secrets or have a brilliant business model but aren't necessarily developing new technologies in the traditional sense?
Right. Like, does RITech have anything to say about them?
It's a $1 million question.
Yeah.
Imagine if you could create a Rebiz score, a way to measure how quickly the language of business itself is evolving.
Okay, I like where you're going with this. So instead of tracking patents, we're tracking buzzwords.
Think about it. Tracking how often terms like, say, gig economy, metaverse, Web3, how often those terms appear in, like, company descriptions, marketing materials, even news articles. Would companies with high Rebiz scores be the disruptors, you know, creating new markets, becoming that next generation of industry leaders?
And just like with Retech, we might discover that those high rebiz companies are more likely to pursue certain growth strategies, maybe even favoring IPOs to maintain control over their innovative approaches. It really makes you think. Are patents becoming less relevant as a measure of a company's true innovative potential?
It's a question worth pondering. In a world where software, data, business models, in a world where those things are driving so much disruption, perhaps we need new tools to understand and predict success. And I think UrRetech gives us a glimpse into that future. It highlights that language, even beyond patents, can be this powerful indicator of innovation and future success.
Absolutely. So whether you're deeply entrenched in the startup world, an investor looking for the next big thing, or just someone who's curious about the forces shaping our technological landscape, paying attention to the language of change, to the rise and fall of buzzwords, can offer valuable clues about what the future holds. Keep your ears open. Stay curious, and maybe someday we'll be doing a deep dive into your very own Rebiz score. Until next time, happy deep diving.